What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to In Search Of. We're your host, Ashton and Sam. We're two accountants who binge podcasts by day and TV by night. Keep listening to find what you've been in search of. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Ashton.
So
it's been a while since we've been in person and had our right set up, but
I know we're back live in our own, in your house, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So in person, and we're hanging on by very thin threads.
We're both a little delirious.
January's almost over.
Yeah. So, and then February starts, and then it's, yeah, don't even ask us.
Yeah,
about
you
work.
Don't want to hear about accounting problems. Mm-mm. But They are there.
Okay, so we've got cults today, and our show is Nine Perfect Strangers, which is kind of not like super culty, but I guess it is a little bit.
It has the vibes.
Cult vibes. And then we've got Guru and Heaven's Gate, which are like both true cult-ish stories and podcast. So Nine Perfect Strangers is on HBO Max, I guess. So if you don't want any spoilers, I guess stop now. But those are the three shows we're talking about today. But Nine Perfect Strangers, that's a great, great show. I loved that show.
I really liked it. I didn't love the last episode, how it ended.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was kind of weird.
I did like the show. I mean, it keeps you guessing and thinking the whole time. You're like, what's going on?
Yeah, so we watched that right after we watched The White Lotus. And it kind of has the same vibes of people being like going somewhere, being stuck together,
weird stuff happens.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of characters. I liked all the characters, but I'm trying to think of some of the main, so well, who's that girl? She played in Bridesmaid. She was in it.
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, she's a big one. Nicole Kidman is in there. The one guy that you and I were talking about that we love. He was in Waco. What's his name? What's his name? Crap, I can't remember. But he's like a great actor. He was also in, he's been in a lot of stuff. Sorry, it's going to bug me.
Is it the guy who played the
dad? Of the you finished.
Oh, okay, no.
wait, hold on. Waco. Oh, not Waco podcast. I'm looking up Nine Perfect. We need a Steven to look up these things for us. Okay, his name is Michael Shannon.
Okay, yes, we were just talking about him. And then I was thinking of Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, the drug addict?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is he in?
He's been in, I'm looking through his movies and TV shows, and I'm like, none of these I've seen, so where do I know him from?
Well, Michael Shannon, I love him. He's such a great actor. So he was in Waco. He was in Nine Perfect Strangers. He was in Nocturnal Animals, which I know you haven't seen, but it's like a movie with
Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal and the redhead. I can never remember her name. Amy Adams. And then he, what else was he in? He's been in a lot of good stuff.
Oh, and Manny Jacinto. I don't know if that's how you say his last name, but he was in The Good Place. He plays the dumb guy who is like dressed like a monk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even put those two together. Anyways, yeah, Nine Perfect Strangers has like a lot of good people in it. And
it's based off the book by Leanne Moriarty.
Oh, I didn't know it was based off her book.
And she did Big Little Lies.
Oh, okay. And that makes sense.
The other thing that Nicole Kidman was in, I think that's also a book of hers. So I didn't read the book, so I don't know if the show ends how the book ends. And, you know, it was weird to me just because that's how it had to end, or if it was a little bit different, but...
Yeah, and she had the whole thing with her daughter. Like, how did her daughter die again? So basically, I guess the premise of the show is it's like this. We just kind of like skipped that whole part. So yeah, sorry.
But hopefully you've watched it and are contributing to this.
Yeah. So the whole premise is it's like a retreat, like a retreat, a wellness retreat where they, you know, people come from for different reasons. Like they come to, like one guy's a recovering addict. One woman is, she got like catfished, which is actually kind of funny because Melissa McCartney's character got catfished. And then there was like another couple that won the lottery and they're like not happy. They're miserable. Michael Shannon and his wife and daughter go and they lost their son to suicide, I think. Yeah. And then I'm trying to think, is there anyone? Oh, there was one woman who was divorced and like attacked her ex. And who else was there? I might be missing somebody, but anyway, so it's all these people from like different things. They have different, they're different issues, so they come to this wellness retreat and they do these exercises, and then they find out, I think they're like aware that they are getting drugged, right?
Yeah, so Michael Shannon, I think, is the character who figures out they're at that dinner at that long table, and he realizes they've been getting like psychedelic drugs in like their smoothies or something. And it's kind of for the purpose of for them to be able to like come to terms with like whatever they're struggling with. Because I guess Nicole Kidman, that's how she dealt with
the death of, her daughter. And how did her daughter? I can't remember.
Was it I'm seeing like a scene in the woods and it's like really cold.
I thought
is
she
that in that show or is that a different show?
I don't know. We watched so much. I don't even know. I thought she got like hit by a train or something. She got hit by a car. That's what it was. Yes, they were walking through the park.
Yeah.
And then they came up on a street and she got hit by a car.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, her whole thing was like to try to connect to like ghosts, like the dead people.
Yeah, the people you've lost. Yeah.
And so I know the family, it kind of centers around like Michael Shannon and his wife and daughter like reconnecting with their son and like getting to talk with him. But it's a good show and it kind of shows like all the different things that they're like, you know, they get mad at each other and they're happy and they're sad. And Nicole Kidman plays a very like, you know, creepy, all knowing. I don't even know.
Yeah.
She definitely has like the cult vibes, but it ends with don't they call the police or like one of the workers like leaves the place.
Yeah,
calls the cops and they come back, right?
Yeah, because they're locked in like that chamber.
Yes,
thing.
And they're being pretended like everything's burning down.
Yes, yeah. And so they are like coming to terms with their death and reflecting at the end. They like reflect on it and like because throughout the show they kind of hate each other for different reasons and they get on each other's nerves and then at the end they all have this like kumbaya moment and they're like, oh, that's what this was about. We were trying to bring you, you know, to your edge and make you have all these realizations. But it was all fake and they get released. And then at the very, very end, they open, I think, was it the rich couple opened or like continued on the retreat or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good show. I liked it.
Yeah.
You should watch it if that's your thing. I don't know. But it was funny. Funny and crazy and all sorts of weird things. Mm-hmm. But okay, that was it for Nine Perfect Strangers. Yep. So I'm going to do Guru first. So Guru is a podcast hosted by Matt Straud, and I think that's how you say his name, and it's the network is Wondery, which Wondery has like a ton of great stories. This was released in July of 2020, and I actually didn't like, I had tried this a while back and didn't get super into it. And then when we were looking for like a cult, I searched it. Did you ever read or listen to anything?
I read about it.
Yeah, you can kind of like, you get the gist like pretty quick. It's not, so there's 8 episodes. I only listened to 6 and they're about like 30 minutes. So it's really easy to listen to. I didn't listen to the last 2 because they are kind of like follow-ups, like interviews with, I didn't really have, I don't know. I was more concerned with the story, not the interviews with other, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyways. So the story is about, the guy who's like, I guess the leader, the cult leader is James Arthur Ray. Like an event happened in 2009. So before we talk about that event, I'm going to tell you like, how did James become like who he was? So he was a self-help, motivational speaker. He narrated like a film called The Secret, which is kind of like what brought him to fame. And The Secret is based on the New Thought, which I was like Googling what the New Thought means. And it's basically just like manifesting, like whatever it is like that you want, you're just manifesting it. And I could be totally wrong.
On brand.
I could be totally wrong, but that's not, we're not here to talk about all that. So, he appeared on Larry King and Oprah on the Today Show. And I think he was on Oprah a couple times, but that's kind of like where he got his credibility and like became popular. Feel like
I've heard a lot about The Secret.
Yes. Before. Yeah. So anyways, that's a little background on like how he became who he was. So the podcast starts off with, this woman named Jenny Brown, and, it explains how Jenny Brown and her daughter Kirby Brown went and attended one of his events. And, Kirby was like totally sold on it. And Jenny was like, I'm not really buying this. He just did certain things that kind of just like rubbed her the wrong way. So she's a social worker. And like one of the things he had them do was he would have them come up and like say something that was holding them back or just something really, really deep that you would say like maybe to your counselor, not to a room full of people. So she was like, okay, this is just a little weird. Like you're crossing maybe some boundaries. And he had an event coming up called the Spiritual Warriors, I think. And Kirby like basically spent her life saving on this. It was like $10,000 to go to this, it's called Spiritual Warrior. And it was in a week long event in Arizona. And so Kirby needed some guidance. She was in different relationships, had different jobs. And thought that, you know, I think she'd been to a couple of his events and like was like, okay, I want to go to this this week long one in Arizona. So they kind of introduced those two people, and then they bring in Brandy and Laura, who also attended Spiritual Warrior and like worked, I think went to some events of his, and they talk from their perspective of this retreat. So like the first thing they have to do when they get there is shave their heads. Yeah. And basically, I guess it's like to, I don't know, like get rid of like any superficial, any like, okay. Yeah. So Laura talks about how that was like really hard for her to do, but she like ends up doing it. She shaves her head.
Okay. Random thing. But I remember when I was young, I watched, I don't know if it was like something on like, I feel like it was an award show, and they picked audience members and they had to go up and like shave their head on stage. And I don't know why, but that like deeply
bothered me.
Like, I
don't know what that is.
I don't know, but I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I think it gave me those weird, like, kind of like culty vibes. And I was like, these two poor random people just got, I don't know if they knew ahead of time, but anyway. So I have if you have to shave your head, I have problems.
You would have been gone. Yeah. You would have been gone. Yeah. So, and like, they didn't have to do it right away, but a lot of people like came around to it. And like, his whole thing was like, you had to play full on. So like, if you weren't playing full on, like, you weren't getting the full benefit of, like,
you had to jump into the deep end. Yeah,
I mean, you paid freaking $10,000 for it. So like, yeah, and, yeah. Okay. So then the next kind of event they go on to talk about is they like go into this room, and James is like wearing this white robe, and he's like, I am God. And he like says it into a microphone. And they start playing this game called like the Samurai game, which I guess is like a team building exercise that like people use in corporate America. But he like put his own little like spin on it. And I tried to Google it, but it seems like a very in-depth kind of, you know, like the Enneagram stuff that we do, like it's very more in-depth. Like, it's not something you can just like Google. Like, you kind of have to be like, and I don't know, maybe like certified in it to teach it, kind of like how our Shari is. So anyways, he like puts his own spin on it, and he's like, if you can't talk, like if you go and talk to him because he's God, like, you die, like, quote unquote. And so what that meant was like, Laura went up to him and like was asking him all these questions, and he's like, die. And so then she has to lay on the ground, and a lot of other people, I guess it happened to them too. And then like other people were still fine to stand and stuff, but they, the people who had died had to lay on the ground for like 5 hours, like couldn't eat, couldn't go to the bathroom, couldn't, like, just really weird. Like,
was this the 2009 event? Is this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was not that long ago.
No, not that long ago. So then the next exercise they do is they go and spend the night outside. And then they actually spend like the next 36 hours outside, like no water. Like, so it, and during the day it's like really hot, at night it's really cold, like no food, no water. And this was called like their vision quest. I don't know. Everything kind of had like a, you know, catchy name. So then the next event was the Sweat Lodge. And so,
wait a second, did celebrities go to this?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Because I remember watching an interview with Drew Carey. And he did some retreat, and it, I think there was like a Sweat Lodge component, and you could not speak to anyone. Maybe this was different then, but you couldn't speak to anyone for like, it was like a week, and like you had to have like moments of like, not moments, but like hours of stillness. And it was like, he was like, if my back itched, I couldn't itch it. I just had to sit and think, my back is itching. My back is itching.
No, I don't like, think so. What is wrong but with you? Yeah. So this was the Sweat Lodge. And so he basically told them, he's like, you know, you're gonna, I tried to write down this quote where he was like, if I'm going to die, he was telling them, if I'm going to die, it's okay, because I don't ever die. My body dies, but I don't ever die. So like, he was telling them, like, you know, you die symbolically. And he would encourage them to like stay in there. And he said like, he was the master. Again, just very weird things. So they go into the Sweat Lodge. It was way too crowded for like the amount of heat in there and the amount of people, and it was just too many. And he was fine because he was by the door. So like, every time they would open and bring in more stones and water to like make it hotter, he would get relief from like the door opening and closing. So it was 8 rounds long and basically like 2 hours, and people could leave. And that's kind of where like things get a little iffy from like the I don't know, a responsibility, and you know, coming when they go to court, whatever. And so people could leave, and like one girl, Brandy, the person that had, you know, Brandy and Laura were the two people speaking, she left. She like got out of there. She's like, I can't do this. And she was like, people were puking, she's like, people were screaming, like she could hear people screaming on the inside, and one guy inside was like screaming and saying he was having a heart attack. And James responded, it's a good day to die. So like, just not good stuff. Not good stuff.
Not funny, but
no, just insane. And then one of Brandy's friends was pulled out, and she was unconscious, and she tried to comfort her, and the people, like the workers, were like told her not to, and they were like, this is her experience, and that like made her really upset. So just things were not off to a good start. Like, no, this was not good. So Laura, they go back to Laura, and Laura's friend Liz, who had done this before, like this is not the first time he had a sweat lodge. She had done it two more times before. And Liz, I think, had done it one other time before, and Liz was like, Liz was laying her head on Laura's legs, and they kind of had a system where they would like touch each other to like make sure the other was still good. Well, at one point, Laura is like trying to like wake up Liz, and she's not waking up. So she's like, okay, this is really bad. So once it's over, Laura is still stuck under Liz. And so the people come in and grab Liz, and they were like, okay, is anyone here like a doctor, like the staff? Like, no one was like a doctor or paramedic or anything. And so they start to realize like two more people are still in there, and it just gets like chaotic. And actually, Brandy said she saw someone's like hands, like fingers sitting like outside of the tent. So yeah, things started to get really bad. So they call the police, like a helicopter comes in, and then James left, which, of course. Yeah. So basically two people had died. It was Kirby Brown and James Shore. And then one was taken to the hospital, which was Liz. And then she later died from her injuries, and 18 others were hospitalized. So like, not good, not good stuff. So basically at this point, like the detectives are trying to understand like what happened. Like, was it a crime? Was it an accident? You know, is he responsible? Who is responsible? Like, if they could leave, you know, there's a lot of questions because they could leave,
they
but
had
then
free will.
Yeah. But then at the same time, like he had been preparing them for this event, like not letting them eat.
Them
yeah. Not letting them eat and drink, oh my gosh, and then made them go into this sweat lodge for 2 hours. And they had learned too that like this sweat lodge he was hosting, it was not a true sweat lodge. So like a sweat lodge is like a Native American ceremony that is like for much smaller groups of people and is like held by like spiritual leaders. And he basically just called it that because that's what he wanted to call it.
Yeah.
And it was more of like a heat endurance. So they were like, okay, like you're... that's not like a sweat lodge. Yeah. And so that was like an insult to the Native American community because yeah, they're like, you're making us look bad by saying that's what it is, and that's not what it is at all.
Yeah.
And so the detectives start to learn like there's a pattern of him taking whatever term or exercise or whatever and just turning it into what he wants. And so they were basically like, he taught things that he was not authorized to teach, like the samurai game. Like, you can't just go teach that, like you have to be certified in it in some form or fashion, or like breathing exercises, like just different things like that. Like, he was not a trainer, he was not any of that. They basically were like, he's just reckless. And so he had conditioned them to do what he said. And so he basically said, you know, like, you're gonna feel like your skin is burning, you're gonna want to pass, like you're gonna pass out. He like lined out the symptoms of like basically a heat stroke. And so when they went in and like the detective was explaining this, like when they went in and they were having the desired effect that he had explained that they were going to have, they thought they were like achieving it. So
they were doing it right.
Yeah. So they stayed. And so they were doing what they were supposed to do. And so, like I said earlier, this was not his first sweat lodge, so like he should have known. So like the detective was like, okay, if this was your first one and somebody dies, like that's one thing, but to do this two other times and have warning signs and people like make comments to you, and then do it again and do it bigger and more dangerous, whatever. So he was ultimately charged with negligent homicide. They wanted to charge him with manslaughter, but he was found not guilty, which would have been like 36 years in prison, and he only got 2 years in prison. So they were not happy. And Jenny Brown's family was really upset, and they were like, you know, we're going to do everything we can to like make something positive come out of this and to protect others. And so Kirby Brown's cousin was actually a lawyer. And so he was at the time putting together another civil lawsuit against James because they realized like this was not the first time someone had died at one of his events. And they couldn't bring up certain topics at the court hearing. So it was very limited on like what they could talk about. So the other event that happened was called, and this was the summer before the Spiritual Warriors event. So this was called Creating Absolute Wealth. And the exercise that they did where someone died was the resourcefulness exercise, which they have a guy come on who went to that. His name was Andy. And he was like, this was basically called like the homeless exercise. So like they left all their belongings at the hotel, wallet, keys, jewelry. The people gave them clothes to wear, like really like rugged clothes to make them look homeless. And then they all got on a bus and like dropped them off somewhere. So basically to just, I don't know, like I guess strip you of everything and you're supposed to learn a lesson from it. Whatever. I don't know. So Andy like goes and takes a seat in the park, and he is just like, he said there was Comic-Con going on or whatever. So he's like kind of just watching everybody. And across from him, he's sitting across from a mall, and he sees a woman standing like up on a balcony, and he's like, oh, is this part of like the Comic-Con thing? Like, oh, what's this? And she basically jumps from the balcony. And Andy was like, okay, like nobody's like clapping or like cheering, like that, what just happened? That was not, you know. So he runs over there, and there's like a big crowd, and he can't tell who it is. And he thought she was still alive because the paramedics had gotten there and were taking her away. So when they all get back together and go back to the event, he shares what happens, like what he had seen. And he was really distraught and like upset because he had had suicidal thoughts before. Okay. So this had like really rocked his world. And then later they realize a group member is missing. So they put the pieces together that it was Colleen Conaway, who had been attending the event and had actually paid $4,000 for this event. Yeah. And so what's really sad is that when they had first taken her to the hospital, since she had no ID or anything, she was a Jane Doe for a couple hours. So it's just terrible. So they find that out, but at the event, they didn't tell anyone like what, that the missing member was the person who jumped. Yeah. So just terrible stuff. He's a bad guy. So Jenny Brown's family started this thing called Seek Safely Promise, which is a thing that it's a promise for like self-help and motivational speakers that are like, okay, if you want to do this, that's fine. But like, if you're going to have host different events like endurance or just, you know, like events that could make people question certain things about their life, like you need to have the right people there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the homeless event, like they should have had someone there trained who could have, you know, answered, I don't know, just been there for Colleen, or the paramedics for Kirby and James and Liz.
Supervisors.
Yes. And yes. So, they had this promise and he won't sign it.
Of course.
Yeah. So he's a real, real keeper. And he, today, like, got out of prison, is still trying to be like a motivational, like self-help guy. What? Yeah, it's just crazy. And one of his like followers, who used to be like, he's a psychologist or whatever, and used to be like a fan of his. Well, once he got out of prison and started doing all of this again, he kind of was like, okay, this is not good. Like, you're not doing good for others. So he reached out to Jenny and was like, hey, this is what's happening. And so I don't think anything has really come from it. They're just trying to be aware of it. And actually the guy was like commenting on his like Facebook lives and things. And like, he eventually blocked him, but he was trying to be like, this is, you're a fraud.
Shut
like,
it down.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he basically was just like, you know, he's still preaching the same thing. So like, one of the things that James said was that the accident happened because it had to happen, because it was the next thing in his evolution for him as a teacher. So like, the guy was like, no, three people did not have to die for that to be the next, like, no. So yeah, he's just, there's just not, and a lot of the reason why this podcast was created was because, first to tell this story, but also like, there was no restrictions on like what he could do or teach like once he left prison. You know, so like if a doctor loses their license, like,
yeah,
there's certain restrictions. You can't go practice. So yeah, this guy is
just...
He didn't have
anything to lose. He had no license or anything to lose.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Anyways,
it's... Was Kirby the daughter or the mom?
The daughter. Oh. Yeah. So the mom is out there trying to...
Yeah.
Put an end to whatever.
That's crazy. Yeah. And it was not that long ago, you know?
No. No. So, yeah, that's the story of... The podcast guru, which it's good. I mean, it's definitely like, what the heck? It makes you mad.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I feel like I'd heard of the secret, but I hadn't heard all like the backstory and everything about that guy.
It's insane. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah. So my podcast is a story that I think a lot of people have at least heard of or know about the big
thing. There's like shows, TV shows, documentaries, all sorts of things.
So you can find probably a lot about this, but, I do like this podcast, particularly because of the host. But the podcast is called Heaven's Gate. And it came out in 2017, and it was produced by Stitcher and Pineapple Media. And Stitcher has a lot of podcasts, too.
Yeah.
But the host, his name is Glenn Washington, and he hosts a bunch of podcasts outside of this one. And I think he's the regular host of Snap Judgment.
Okay.
I don't listen to that podcast, but I think that has a lot of episodes. So... Heaven's Gate, which people probably know, is, I mean, they called it more of like a religious movement, but we call it a cult. And it was founded in 1974, and it ended in the largest mass suicide in U.S. history in 1997. So Marshall Applewhite met Bonnie Nettles in 1974, and there are a few stories about how they met, but... I think the most accepted one is Bonnie was Marshall's nurse after he had like a near death experience. And they ended up calling themselves or referring to themselves T and Doe. So T was Marshall and Doe was Bonnie. And they believed that they were the next level of evolution beyond humans and that they came to Earth from like another planet basically, and like, but they were also from like the kingdom of heaven. And I think Bonnie I'm trying to think of the terms, it's not funny but it's funny. And they also, like, I think Bonnie said that she was like the precursor or the predecessor to Jesus, and Marshall was something God. I don't
just
know.
Just some wacky stuff.
Very wacky. So they somehow attracted a group of followers who also believed what they were saying.
And when was this again? Like,
so they met in 74. Okay. And so, and then the suicide happened in 97. So they had like 20 years of,
I forgot it was that long.
Yeah. And so they had a couple members who like joined and then left. And they, Bonnie actually died in 1985. So like halfway through all of this. But they ended up becoming kind of like a nomadic monastery. So they didn't have possessions. They would like beg on the street. They were not working. They would, you know, evade the police and detectives and all of this. And in 1996, they eventually, which is very weird to me, they rented like a mansion in like near San Diego, California. And I mean, I guess it's just, it makes sense because there were 39 of them that they needed like a big space for their like final like resting place. Yeah. But they picked this place to kind of settle. And their big moment was the Hale-Bopp comet was coming. I'm sorry.
They have their website.
they still have their
it's
website.
It's today. Yes. You can still go to it.
Yes. I almost went to it. And then I was like, is this going to put something weird on my computer? Yeah, so I've didn't been
to, I went to it, but you're fine if you want to visit
okay.
it.
Okay. So to all of our listeners, if you are curious, it's safe.
Yeah.
And is the red thing... is the red thing still flashing?
I think it's been a while website? Since I was on it, but I think...
So there's like this red message that like uh-huh. flashes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think okay. so. I think so.
So they settle in this mansion in California, and they are prepared for the Hale-Bopp comet to come. And following this comet, there's a UFO that's going to take them all up, and they're going to go into the kingdom of heaven.
For sure. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. They're going to meet Bonnie because she's chilling. She's hanging out. She's been preparing for them. But the rest of them are going to go. I'm sorry. So anyway. Y'all,
if you knew the week we had, this is just. Yeah. This is good stuff. Good stuff.
It is. It is. So in Waves, they drink phenobarbital mixed in like applesauce or something. And so it's like 15 of them and then 15 of them and then 9 of them. And they are all dressed in...
okay.
They're dressed in identical like uniforms, basically.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
Ashton,
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
We got to keep it together. Okay, this is so serious stuff. And...
Okay.
Speaking of shaved heads,
their heads were shaved.
Well, they had the same haircut because
because
when police got there, they thought that it was all men.
Oh yeah,
the like news report was like 39 men, but it was like half men and women.
Okay, got it.
And they all had the same Nike shoes on, mm-hmm. and Nike discontinued the style after this happened.
They're like, this is terrible for our brand.
And they were like, why Nike shoes? And one thing I read was that, so they liked the Just Do It, and uh-huh. they said Just Do It because like tea and dough were their leaders.
My God, I can't.
Yep. Yep, yep. And they all had like money in their pockets.
Okay.
And they had like $5 and then some change, but it was like all the exact amount. Everybody had the same amount. And I guess like the $5 was like the vagrant fee or something. Okay. And then the change was to like pay a payphone to call home. I don't know.
Got it.
And so they drank this stuff and they like prepared the bodies, so like mm-hmm. 15 people drank it and the following 15 people like put these like bags over their heads purple like uh-huh. cloth and stuff mm-hmm. But like the final two people like didn't have anyone to do that for them,
yeah,
so they kind of knew that it was done in Waves,
yeah.
And so before they did this, they sent packages to 5 affiliates. So either people who had joined and then left or who knew about Heaven's Gate,
yeah.
and had like VHS tapes with their like farewell messages and like explanations of what they were doing and why. And so one of the recipients was the one to find the bodies and call the police. And so he gets there and the podcast plays like a little clip of him calling the police and he says, you know, I want to make an anonymous tip. And they're like, okay, regarding what? And he's like, a mass suicide. And he gives them the address. So the farewell messages, and there are things like left at this mansion that kind of explain their reasoning, and they're all like, you know, this is going to be seen as a sad thing, but it's not sad for us. Like, we are, you know, going to our next level and like our calling, and like we're excited for this. And it was kind of similar to what you were saying with that guy, that they were like leaving their physical bodies, but their yeah. bodies were just like their vessels, and like they were, you know, their spirits, I guess, mm-hmm. were traveling up. So, I mean, it's, you know, very sad. It's like the largest mass suicide in history, but they weren't like, oh, we're not really killing ourselves. We're just like
going to the next yes. dimension.
Mm-hmm. And, what I thought was interesting about this podcast was the host, Glenn Washington, was basically raised in a religious cult.
Oh.
And he left, when he was a teenager.
Okay.
And you know, not, they didn't have the same beliefs as Heaven's Gate, but he, you know, kind of understands that, you know, we see this as like, oh my God, these people were crazy. What were they thinking?
Yeah.
And like, even I thought like, okay, you're part of this group and like, maybe they do weird things, but I feel like if you saw like a wave of 15 people like kill themselves and then you were like, You saw that with your own eyes, and then you're like, yes, I'm also going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, did no one, like, snap out of it and be like, oh, my gosh.
Wait, what are we doing?
Yes, what's going on? And so he's, like, he explains how, you know, it's very easy for us to think that, but he's like, you know, if I had continued on in this cult that I was raised in, and if I had taken like two more left turns and hadn't gotten out of it, like, would I have been in this situation? Mm-hmm. And like, if I had made it to that point, would I have taken, you know, the phenobarbital too? And he's like, it's not as easy of a question to answer as you think it would be. You know, when you're ingrained with these ideas and you really believe what these people are telling you. So I just thought that was an interesting kind of take on a story that like we all probably have at least heard of. And like, we just think like, oh my God, so crazy. Like that's
how
ridiculous.
Could you ever?
So like about like halfway through the podcast, I think there's like 10 episodes and like the sixth one is like all about Glenn's story. So even if you don't want to like re-listen to the Heaven's Gate whole story, you could listen to that episode alone and I
learn
still think
a lot.
I think it's interesting. So
I had actually watched I think a documentary on it. I didn't listen to the podcast, but because I didn't know about Glenn or any of his stuff, but
and he has a good podcasting voice. So
that was a crazy story. And it's really hard. There were some funky things going on.
Yeah.
Also, that started in the time of, like, I know the 70s was, like, a hop in time.
Psychedelics.
And, lots of cults going on during that time. So, okay. Yeah.
So, I want to, I know you're not very far, but I wanted to save my questions on Yellow Jackets.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's cult-ish.
It is. I know, I think I'm three episodes in. So, I'm trying to think of the last thing.
What's happened?
Yeah, so I think the last thing is they found the house. Like that wooden house and the girl had some weird vibes and they went upstairs and there was a dead like skeleton.
Yes.
I think that's where I'm at. But the show was really, I just started it last night and we got three episodes in. So it's good stuff. And it's almost like it's hard to watch, but you have to keep going back for more. It is such a good show.
Yes. And I finished the first season and it goes back and forth between like modern day and then what happened. So I mean, people probably know, but if you don't, it's not spoiling it. It's a high school girls soccer team
from the 90s.
Yes. And they're flying to their
nationals, something.
And their plane crashes. So if you are afraid of flying or planes,
well, it was a private plane, so one of the girls' dad had like a
chartered
private,
it
which also like private planes kind of sketch me out.
Yeah,
like
they're small and
like ever since Kobe, R.I.P.
Yes, yeah,
yeah. I don't know. This kind of sketches me out. Which they were in a they were in a private plane. I don't know. They're just, you hear too many stories, like Aaliyah or whatever her name was. Yeah. Anyways, we digress. I say that. I said that last time. But
So the plane crashes, and so it's like flashbacks between the girl, the team surviving in the wilderness because no one comes and finds them for like 19 months.
Yeah, a long
time.
And
then the present day, some of the girls are dealing with stuff in
the present.
And there's like the opening scene, because you were messaging me
about
the opening scene, and that's what get like culty vibes right off the bat.
I texted Sam, I was like, I think I just said like, this is wild, or I said like something like this. Yeah, WTF. Like, what is this? And then I also just saw like Travis like hangs himself, or but they don't think it was really Travis, they think somebody killed him. But
yeah,
it's a crazy story.
Yeah. So when you finish, we'll probably pick this talk.
Also, Misty gives me weird vibes. I don't like
Misty. Oh, yeah. Oh, she gets weirder.
I don't like Misty.
Yeah.
It's a good show, though.
Second season. I hope it comes out soon because I want to know.
Yeah, I was needing something to watch, and so I'm
happy. Oh, and then I was going to tell you, I saw someone that said that they were binging. This is not culty, I don't think, but it's Kristen Bell on Netflix.
Yes.
And it's like the woman in the house across the street from the man in the window.
Yes,
or something.
The girl in the window, something like that. Yeah, yeah,
because
I
read the book, The Girl, the Something in the Window.
Oh, really? Okay.
And isn't there a movie, The Girl in the Window?
I think there is a movie with Amy Adams.
I was like, so is this like a spoof? Or is it really supposed to be like the other perspective?
Maybe it's the other perspective. I don't know. But I am excited about that. Yeah. And I saw, okay, did you hear the story of the guy who, it was a couple years ago, but he was like, it was a young couple. The guy ended up committing suicide and the girl was like telling him to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a show I think on her, and I think Ella Fanning, I think, is going to be portray her.
Yes.
It's going to be on Hulu. I don't know what it's called, but there's a Netflix documentary on that story.
Yeah. I think you put that in the In Search of podcast, Insta story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm super excited about that show because the documentary is crazy.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch it?
Do you remember what it's called?
No, but I can tell you.
We'll talk about it maybe on this if we find another theme.
Yeah, it was insane though. That's just such a hard thing to in court, you know, like how, I don't know, it's confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but anyways. Okay, I think that's it. I don't have anything to recommend. Oh, I guess I have one thing to recommend. I was eating them as we came over here. You know the white cheddar popcorn?
Mm-hmm.
The Smart Food or whatever? Mm-hmm. They have a Flamin' Hot one, like Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Oh, my God. Like, my hands aren't red. They're a little red, you can see. But I love that stuff. And Jake gets mad at me every time because my fingers are like red and like,
do they stain?
Yeah, things dusty. Around the house? But it is the best snack ever if you like hot things. Do you like hot things? Not really. I love spicy.
Particularly. I remember like elementary school Flamin' Hot competitions at lunch. It was who could eat
the most
without taking a sip of water.
Oh, I would have won. I freaking love Flamin' Hot Cheetos. They're my favorite. I think I said that on one of our team things was what was my favorite food. And I think I said like...
It was chicken nuggets.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
And...
Something else that was like kid-like because you were like... It sounds like I eat like a child.
I think I said like Gatorade.
No, it wasn't a drink. Was it ice cream?
I think ice cream.
Maybe. Yeah. Which my top one was ice cream. And I cannot get away from the fact that my number two is bananas.
Yeah, let's not talk about it.
This is really, we're really digressing.
Okay.
Guys, we'll we're going to sign off because this is going to get too weird if we keep going.
All right. Bye, Sam.
Bye, Ashton.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.